Let's read together Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 through 21. In this chapter, Jacob prepares to meet his brother Esau. They haven't seen one another for 20 years. Jacob is hoping that it will be a peaceful meeting, but he learns that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, 'Pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves.' And he commanded the first one, saying, 'When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, "To whom do you belong? And where are you going? Whose are these in front of you?" Then you shall say, "They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he also is behind me." So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, "In this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp." Well, let's mention a few background notes first of all. After Jacob and Laban came to terms of peace, and Laban headed back to Haran, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to Esau. Esau was now living in the land of Seir, that is, southeast of the Dead Sea. Esau became the father and founder of the nation of Edom in this area. The rock fortress city, later known as Petra, was located in this area and may have been Esau's headquarters at this time. Jacob was hoping for a peaceful meeting with Esau, but he became greatly afraid when he heard that Esau was on his way to meet him with 400 men. 400 men? That's a small army. Esau must be out to kill me, thought Jacob. Remember, Esau had threatened to kill Jacob 20 years before, when Jacob had tricked his father Isaac into blessing him instead of Esau. Well, that's why Jacob, you remember, had to run away. He had put about 500 miles between himself and Esau for 20 years. Rebekah, you remember, thought that Esau's fury would be over in a few days, but she was mistaken. So what did Jacob do at this point when he hears that 400 men are coming to meet him? He did what we all would do if we thought our lives were in extreme danger like this. Jacob prayed. He prayed out of desperation, and God answered his prayer. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points from this portion of God's word. So doctrinal point number one, God takes care of his children by the means of guardian angels. God takes care of his children by the means of guardian angels. Look at verse 1 and 2 once again. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp," and he called the name of that place, Mahanaim. Jacob had seen the angels of God back in his dream at Bethel. You remember that? Back in chapter 28? Now that Jacob is returning to the land, he sees them again. Whether in a dream or a vision or literally, we can't say. And whether only Jacob saw the angels or everyone in the company saw them, we don't know. In any case, it's not just a few angels that Jacob saw, but a host of angels. There's so many angels that Jacob called the place Mahanaim, which means double camp or two camps, namely his camp and the camp or host of protecting angels. God was taking care of Jacob and protecting him by the means of guardian angels. The Bible teaches that the use of guardian angels is one way that God protects his children. Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to give service to those who are saved. In Matthew 18 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus said of the little children, their angels, that is, their guardian angels, continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, normally, angels are invisible. Jacob here was permitted to see these angels. Reminds us of 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha's servant was permitted to see the host of guardian angels who were protecting them from the Syrian army. But normally, we don't see angels. I've never seen an angel. At least, I've never recognized an angel. But that's okay. We shouldn't be looking for angels. Our focus should be on the Lord. But it's nice to know that God can and does use the invisible holy angels to care for us. Question: how many guardian angels does the Lord send out when you get behind the steering wheel of a car? You know, when our son Ron was a preteen, we were backpacking together in the mountains of New York State. One night, we were awakened by a bear that came into our camp. Now, we tried to scare the bear off by making a lot of noise, but instead, the bear turned and charged straight at us. We were in this open lean-to where we were sitting up in our sleeping bags. Right at the last moment, the bear veered off and bounded into the woods. Why? I don't know. God was protecting us. Maybe the bear confronted guardian angels. We can't be sure. In any case, God does care for his children, and he can protect them by the means of guardian angels. Doctrinal point number two, God takes care of his children by the means of answered prayer. God takes care of his children by the means of answered prayer. In verses 9 through 12, Jacob prays out of fear and desperation, but at least he prays. You know, this is the first time we read of Jacob praying. At Bethel, 20 years before, he had made a vow before God. But that really wasn't a prayer like we see here. But now Jacob is really between a rock and a hard place. Esau is coming with 400 men. Jacob has nowhere to turn but up. Now look briefly at Jacob's prayer here. Jacob prays a model prayer here. He addresses God directly. Verse 9, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. He prays in humility. Verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. He prays specifically. Verse 11, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. That's a pretty specific prayer, isn't it? And notice that he prays on the basis of what God has already revealed, what God has said. We should always pray on that kind of basis. Look at verse 9 once again. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you. And also verse 12, for you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob prays on the basis of what God has revealed. So it's a model prayer. We should pray these kinds of prayers, and not just when we're in trouble, as Jacob was. Well, God answered Jacob's prayer, and he can answer our prayers as well. It's one of the means that God uses to take care of us. God takes care of his children by the means of answered prayer. And doctrinal point number three, God takes care of his children by the means of common sense. God takes care of his children by the means of common sense. Besides praying, Jacob did a few other things in preparation for meeting Esau. Before he prayed, we see here that he divided his camp into two companies, so that in case one was attacked, the other could escape. We see that there in verses 7 and 8. And then after he prayed, he sent a large gift of animals to Esau to hopefully appease him. Verse 20, Jacob sent them in successive droves so as to magnify the gift. Well, you know, as you read the commentators here, you find they differ in their views concerning Jacob. Some find fault with Jacob here for not trusting God more. Some say Jacob is just using his God-given common sense. Well, I tend to take a middle-of-the-road position here. God had told Jacob that he would bring him safely back home. So Jacob certainly did not have to divide his camp and hope that if one company was attacked, the other one could escape. And furthermore, as we'll see in chapter 33, Jacob should not have played favorites with his family to protect his favorite wife, Rachel, and his favorite son, Joseph, as we'll see, at the possible expense of the rest of the family. But on the other hand, to send Esau a gift to help pave the way for a peaceful meeting, that was common sense. In fact, Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him or paves the way for him. It's a biblical principle. So it was certainly not wrong for Jacob to send Esau a gift, especially in view of how Jacob had cheated his brother. This was common sense as I see it. We should use our God-given common sense. We depend on God to take care of us, but we don't kiss our brains goodbye. When we become Christians, we don't sit back and do nothing. We use our common sense. It is a means by which God takes care of his children. Let's take a practical application now from this portion of God's word. What does God have to do to get us to pray? What does God have to do to get us to pray? Here in Genesis 32, we finally see Jacob praying, but it took a life-threatening situation to get him on his knees. What does God have to do to get us to pray? Do we pray for our families and fellow believers before they get sick or before they get into trouble? Do we pray for our marriages before there are problems? What does God have to do to get us to pray? What does God have to allow to happen before we'll come humbly before him in prayer? What does God have to do to get us to pray?